I want the money, power, and respect. Bitches get wet when they see a check. Drop like five, nigga, on my neck. Splashy nigga, see the drip.
What's going on, Troop Squad? It's your boy, BTB Swaggy, and you are back at the BTB Gorilla Zone. It's along with your co-host,
BTB Gorilla. You know, I wasn't ready for that.
But, as you all know, hope y'all having a great week, month, year, so on and so forth, man. You know what I'm saying? Easter weekend just passed. Hope everybody had a great Easter and everything. Shoot. Is there anything you'd like to add besides that note since we...
On the intro? Nah. We here.
That's the only thing we can be, right? diving really straight into it, man. Sexy Red. We was just listening to it, bro. What was it? Help me out here. What was the joint?
The name of the song?
Yeah.
Fucking.
Get it sexy. Or something like that. My thoughts about this song, right? Or I could be wrong. Or either way. Something that she just dropped recently, y'all. Good old Sexy Red. Now look, some of y'all...
Yeah, good and sexy.
Some of y'all might know, you know what I'm saying, my... If you go back and watch the videos, you might know a little bit of thoughts about Sexy. She's not my crunch and butter and everything, but musically, I think she got it a little bit musically. The track I'm talking about that she just released, Get It Sexy, I just noticed some memorable faces like Aiden Ross, Soulja Boy, and really, I say I rock with her musically because I like the way that the music video was. For me, it brought kind of like a old school vibe, kind of what did you say, like oversized t-shirts and oversized pants or whatever like that, something like that?
Yeah, just like that big T phase and shit, like the big T shit. It's back in Soulja Boy days and shit, like... I think it was like the Franchise Boys, a few other people like that style of shit. Just, you know what I'm saying, that.
So oversized shit was really like the trend back then, for real?
Yeah, for sure. It's just like them fucking flared out, them flared out pants and shit that they be wearing and shit. And then like, that shit wasn't never like around back, you know what I'm saying, when I was like out here. But, you know what I'm saying, like you see that shit back in the 70s, so. Everything just come back, go around and come around and shit, you feel me?
So how'd you feel about the track, for real?
About the track? Yeah. I mean, I love the beat. I like the vibe of it. I definitely can't say like... I can't say that I really was like paying attention to the lyrics real heavy. But it's like the video was dope. The motherfucking video was dope as shit. And, damn, what the fuck? That's too fucking smoky in this bitch. The video was dope as shit. Motherfucking, the way the track was put together, that shit was dope. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like is that what you would like to, you personally, is that what you would like to bring, like, was that what you like to see brought back in hip-hop?
Just what like you mean?
A fun vibe in the music videos and shit.
A fun vibe in the music videos?
Yeah.
Like, are we talking about specifically the music videos?
Yeah, like, when you look at Sexy Red video, it's like, even if you can't really get into the lyrics, you looking at the music video, even a couple people that even said, like, it just brought back memories
because it's like... It's a nostalgia thing. You know what I'm saying? Nostalgia's good in doses. You feel me? Like,
so you don't need to be reminded all the time for me.
Nah, it's not even about being reminded all the time and stuff. It's like that video was so dope because it was put together well and it was a representation of a time frame and stuff that isn't put together like that. You know what I mean? On a platform like that with the new sound and shit like that, it was just done really fucking good. But I believe that you don't live in the past. Like, I love retro shit. And yeah, it's great, like I said, to bring it back and shit every now and then type of shit. But you live in the future and you live in the now. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, so. But not a creativity side of it. Music videos definitely lack creativity like that for sure. You know what I'm saying?
So like, definitely need to do more creative videos, like.
I even just like more creative videos. There's a lot of creative shit out there, but hip hop wise, yeah, and hip hop, yeah, like that shit was just a good video. I can't say that I don't be watching a lot of niggas' videos and stuff like that. So I don't want nobody feeling no type of way about some shit because they ain't even like I can really compare it to a whole lot of videos. You know what I'm saying? But from the videos that I seen, you know what I mean? Nah, it's not. A whole lot of motherfuckers doing creative shit. Like, DaBaby is real creative with his videos. You know what I'm saying? I like DaBaby's videos.
Yes.
There's a few people out there that you know is fitting to create. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, yeah, nah, it was just put together good.
I mean, yeah, I definitely agree. It was definitely well put together video. Like I said, I enjoyed the vibe for sure. I just, like I said, like, I don't know. I just feel like hip hop is just stuck in a weird place right now. Like, I can't really get into that. And besides, really, the Kendrick and Drake beef, and then even then, like, I want to see where that's gonna go, how that's gonna maneuver. If I really had to say, y'all, I really want Drake to get on the track because I really want to see how he would respond on the track. That's what I really want. If I had to be completely, fully honest. I really want Drake to get on the track so he can respond. Like, I see responding at the concert and saying, like, can't nobody fuck with you on the planet or nothing like that. Like, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's cool and all. But, like, can you get in the booth, please, so I can see how you're going to respond? And I feel like J. Cole going to respond 100%. But I just don't know what he going to respond with. Like, I don't think it's going to... I don't know, bro. Like... Hip hop just stuck in a weird place right now. I never would have thought that Drake and Kendrick beef would have got like this crazy. And even then, I don't even know if it's beef or not, because they show love outside of the rap. But then, like, I don't know, bro. It's just, I don't know. It's just a weird thing for me, man. Like, it's just a weird thing. I don't know. But I definitely want to see Drake respond. You think he's going to respond with some heat?
Drake? I mean...
I know J. Cole gonna respond 100%, bro. Like, it seemed like... I haven't seen... Mistake me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen J. Cole come out on Twitter or no social media platform and say nothing. So, I'm assuming he's taking that time to go in the booth and do something. I'm hoping he do something anyway. I just don't know how he gonna respond. But I'm hoping he in there doing something. But if y'all see him on Twitter chatting like Drake, then I don't know. But from a social media platform, I personally haven't seen J. Cole say nothing. So I'm assuming he's in the booth probably working or... Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's... He a different type of artist, so it's like I feel like it would be good for his legacy, you know what I'm saying, if he responded in a hip hop like fashion and did some devastation and brought like some real pressure with that shit, kind of like back when like the Meek Mill shit, but it would have to be a lot more intense. And I mean, it's kind of hard too in his position because it's like when you Drake, that what track is gonna be hard enough, you know what I'm saying, to pass the critics and shit, because they already gonna critique you on everything super tough. So you've already accomplished a lot, you know, already, you know what I mean, did a lot. So it might, you know what I mean, he might just go ahead and like let the work speak for itself type shit, but I feel like he should respond. But you gotta do that shit right though.
Like I said, I'm open. If he, like, he not, like, me personally, he ain't really obligated to respond for real, but I like to get some, a little bit of a little excitement or something out of it. It's like, if it's just really rap beef and they just going head to head, I really like to see something. And it's like, for them to be classified as, like, the big three, who wouldn't want to see the big three go toe-to-toe-to-toe? For really the number one spot. It's just like, I think everybody's just so unsure of Drake, because they just probably feel like he ain't really in the booth working, because he's been responding publicly, or maybe like, or something like that. But
I don't think it's really that. I feel like hip hop wise, as I keep telling people, like hip hop coming back to a different just way about it. Like, it's still a lot of new shit, but niggas is really saying stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, when you got a lot of motherfuckers really saying something, a lot of that shit that's really catchy, and it's on the radio, and that everybody knows, and all that shit, like, that shit cool and shit, but it's like, to a nigga that can really, really do this rap shit, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they was to say, like, if it was, like, a motherfucking Royal Rumble type shit of motherfucking real rappers and shit, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that Drake is going to be anywhere in the back, you know, the top of the motherfuckers left. You know what I'm saying? He going to get tossed out in the beginning. You know what I mean? And ain't no disrespect or nothing like that. It's just, like, there's way too many out here that really can rap, like. Not that, yeah, I mean, he'll make good songs. I think that nigga make great songs. You know what I'm saying? And I think he could rap a little bit, but not like that. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, speaking of beef and everything, right? So, excuse me, y'all. Meek Mill and Academics beef. Meek Mill has said he wanted his own podcast, or he wanted to do a podcast or whatever. So Academics came out, offered him $1 million. I think for 52 episodes, and they split ad revenue 50-50.
Well, I'd have took that.
Some people say it wasn't really a real deal, and Act was trying to, like, sun him in a way. And then some people felt like Act was really, like, giving them that deal, because it was really, like, it was a deal, like, Act would pay for the production. All Meek would have to do is just show up and just talk. It was literally that. And
I mean, he been a nigga boss. It don't even matter. None of the details really matter at the end of the day, because it's like, unless we going 50-50, then we ain't really got nothing to talk about. Especially if we been beefing and this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? Because you talking about a situation where, nigga, it don't take, like, outlandish type of money to put that situation together. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, nah, that is like kind of son of somebody. Like, ain't no way around it. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even fuck with each other like that, more or less, for me, you to be my fucking boss. More or less, like, for us not to go in together on a venture. You know what I'm saying? That's something different. We trying to mend some shit. We gonna go in on a venture together.
So you would've done it?
You said what?
You would've done the podcast?
Oh, fuck no.
No.
I was just talking shit. If we was fucking, like I said, I ain't got no beef with Academics. I don't know that nigga. That nigga offered me a random nigga that he don't know, motherfucking Mill, and dot, dot, dot. Yeah, nigga, we can talk. If I was Meek, I wouldn't even have responded to it. I mean, but like I said, I wouldn't be in a lot of the positions that he's in from the responses and the way that things are done. We all different people and shit, but, you know what I'm saying, certain shit just equal certain results, you know what I mean, And I ain't how I did that. I wouldn't have been in that position.
To be like,
yeah, I wouldn't have been in that position. I wouldn't even been in that position for nobody been playing with me like that. I wouldn't have even been in that position. I don't even care who it is. Like, I don't play like that. I don't disrespect people like that. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, Meek from a place where as though he should not have even outplayed himself out of position. We from these streets. Like, academics, whether the nigga can fight, whether he can, he got guns, killers, security, whatever the case is, I would have never disrespected him for him to even play them type of games with me, to even be putting his address out there or saying that anything or calling me on nothing like that, because it would already be understood what type of person I am, and that before anything would have been said, it would have been something done, and whatever the case is and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, you know what I mean? Like I said, so he played himself out of position with this rap shit, bro. With that entertainment shit. You feel me? This entertainment shit get niggas fucked up. You know what I mean? That's the truth.
As always.
That's the truth.
They've been, this internet shit behind, it's behind a lot of people getting smacked up. And it's behind a lot of death for real too. But that's what I was saying. Speaking of the little whole Kendrick beef and stuff, for the people that think that's like the beat is new, like, can you educate them on where that beat really came from? Because there was a couple comments of people saying that, like,
you mean the future of Metro Boomin joint?
Yeah, future of Kendrick. It's a lot of people that think that beat is new. Not to me, where that beat came from.
I mean, where the original came from, I'm not 100. The beat where that melody is most common for is that Hard Body song off the Drought 3 mixtape with Lil Wayne. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. That's where it comes from. Where I can reference it from.
But you wasn't the only one. I think some people that even listened to the track, they went back to go listen to Hard Body because it's like you said, it just brought nostalgia. And I guess some people haven't heard that in a while until they heard that version. And then, like I said, some people gonna come and they gonna think when they hear Future and Metro, that's going to be, that they created that. Not too many people going to know that. They got that from Eminem, and wherever Eminem got it from, who knows?
Lil Wayne.
I said Eminem, Lil Wayne. Whoever Lil Wayne got it from, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the original version either, but I know that they inspired that sound from Lil Wayne track. So I think is a lot of the music sampled off of, like, really, is a lot of it just regurgitated in a way? Like, the sample sounds? Because it's all, like, when I hear it, it's always, I used to think every song that came out, that person created it. Like, when 2 Chainz came out with his, All I Want For My Birthday, and something like, when he came out with that, I thought that, like, I used to think that that's what they made. I didn't think that they was just getting that from another artist. So you really think, like, most of it, like, really regurgitated? Because I'm trying to figure out, like,
not most of it, but the hits are.
Most of the hits are regurgitated?
Most of the hits are. You know what I'm saying? Like, are most of the songs in general? Nah. Most of the beats in general? Nah. Are they, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, most of the hits are because it's so easy, you know what I'm saying, to have somebody hear a song just like that and be, you know, just catch the tune and catch the part of the hook that you done brought back or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's already rememberable. It's all, you know what I mean, from generation to generation, that melody is, you know what I'm saying, is memorable. So, you know what I mean, if they can get the releases or pay the fees and royalties and get licensing, whatever, you know what I'm saying, then yeah, it'd be worth it because those are where the hits come from. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they pay a lot of money to release them songs. Don't think that them songs get released without niggas paying a bag for. And some of them hits get released and the artist sees next to nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because it is mainly somebody else's song. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean?
And what about the, I seen something on Twitter the other day where, a female has said something like, it's harder for females in the industry way more than, or it's easier for men in the industry way harder than it is for, it's easier for men in the industry than it is for women. So, I had to get somebody else's opinion. So, like, what you think about that? Is she bugging or is she right to a point?
It's incomparable. You can't compare the two. It's just like saying that a man's plights and a woman's plights in life or one would be heavier or different, you know what I mean, than the other. It's like you can't compare the two because it's just not, it's not the truth. It's not the same thing. You got women that can get in off of their looks and, yeah, will they face discrimination and this, that, and the other and harassment and stuff? For sure. But you think that niggas don't go through the same thing, then that's not the way it is. Like, not in the entertainment game, it don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? So, that's why you got all these guys coming out here with all these fucking sexual harassments and all these motherfucking, you know what I mean? They were fucking not trained or whatever, but, you know, they were groomed and stuff. So, it's like, nah, you can't, it's incomparable. The struggle is the struggle, and everybody's is going to be different. You can come through, you can go through some fucked up shit being a female in the industry. You can go through some fucked up shit being a male in the industry. The industry is saturated for both sides. There's too many beautiful women. There's too many niggas that can rap. So, nah, they gotta miss me with that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Nah, cause I just had to get somebody else's opinion on that. Cause I ain't really know how to think of that.
Oh, you know, I'm gonna give you some big gorilla shit on that shit. Nah, miss me with that bullshit. It's like I said, it's in a world where, yeah, and you talking about the 70s, where everybody couldn't make it because it was a lot more off of talent as well as location and stuff, and it was harder to travel, get your music out, get money, dot, dot, dot. Women had less rights. Yeah, it's different. We're talking about 2024, where a motherfucking woman can be a man and a man can be a woman, and either one of them can go into the damn industry and get a record deal just off of that. So, no. Nah, fuck that.
And speaking of deals, kind of sort of back to like the deal that Act offered Meek Mill. Do you feel like if Act offered that to any other rapper, they would have took it? Because the argument had also came up like, well, even if the average person might be like, yeah, I'm taking that. But as a rapper, they just like, most of these rappers they're not going to want to sit down and just talk, like, cause they're not going to be interesting enough to talk like that. So he was like, it's kind of going to be like, I can't really remember what he said to the fullest, but he was saying something kind of like that. Like it's, you would kind of struggle to get that million back because it's also like, you got to focus on the views. They would actually have to show up. And he was like, it'll be more struggle and hassle for real. He was like, maybe if like, and he was saying like, if it was a Drake, then yeah, maybe. But he was like, Meek Mill, for him to, if Act is going to give him $1 million and he wants to get that back through ad revenue, it's Meek Mill. So he was like, it's not really going to garnish that type of views for real.
And It could all day. See, that's the type of thinking where it's though, people become what they're doing and forget about the qualities and the traits that they have that allow them to get what to that level that they're at and to become who they are. It's like I said in that song. It's like niggas get some money and forget how to make money and stuff. Like, you gotta be broke to want to be rich. It's like, you will have a hustling mentality. If Meek Mills came from motherfucking next to nothing, you know what I'm saying? To get to where he's at, making all these moves, this, that, and the other, dot, dot, dot. You have a hustling mentality. You take that mentality and you apply that to whatever it is going on. You see Rick Ross doing all these damn commercials, got Wingstops, got dot, dot. You see Shaq doing this, that, and the other, bop, bop, bop. It don't matter who you are, what it is that you're doing, if you really about that bag and success and business and stuff, shit, that's easy money. You talking about Meek Mill, you talking about a motherfucker that came from the streets of Philly through battle rapping, made it in the mainstream, fucking was with fucking MMG, fucking and Rick Ross and them, fucking linked up with Jay-Z and them, fucking went to prison, was with Nicki Minaj, all that shit. Like, nigga got stories and fucking could have all sorts of guests and drop all sorts of gems and knowledge. Nah, like, he could have, hell yeah, he could have a podcast. Hell yeah, he could. You know what I'm saying? For real.
100%, he could have a podcast.
And it was, you know what I mean? Like, for real, though. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? Like, was that situation the right situation? Fuck no. But, could he do it all day?
Damn. I think the whole Joe Budden was saying, though, is just like, for Act to get that meal back, like, yeah, I'm sure Meek would, like, have the stories, but then it's also like, would it really be interesting enough to even know?
Why wouldn't it be? That's what I'm saying. Look, Joe Budden has become a successful podcaster and stuff, right? Alright, so if you want to base it off of what merits, is like, alright, so it's like Joe Budden had a very short rap career. And he became a very successful podcaster. So why couldn't somebody that has had a longer, more successful rap career become a successful podcaster?
Well, Joe is a successful podcaster because he's, before he was doing the Joe Budden TV, he was doing Complex or something like that. Yeah, I think he was doing Complex, and they called that the Everyday Struggle. And yeah,
that's it. He's successful.
Yeah, he was killing that one.
He's successful. He's a successful podcaster, like I said. So why couldn't Meek Mills, somebody with a longer rap career than him, be a successful podcaster as well? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just, like I said, what sense does that make? They don't even make no sense.
But I think it's also like, because, like, Joe Budden is a successful podcaster, but, like, I think even he said himself, they're not really garnishing the views. Like that.
He might not be now, but shit, Joe Budden had one of the number one podcasts in the world, and then he inked that deal with Spotify. Like I said, until they changed the name was like, we'll name this podcast later. That was the podcast that was doing. Uh-huh. So like I said, five podcasts later, he might have a podcast that ain't hitting the numbers that certain ones have in between, but he had the one that he did with Academics and over at Complex, and like I said, and it's all sorts of other shit. So like I said, yeah. So that's what I mean by, even with that standard and looking at his background in the podcasting and world, why the hell couldn't Meek Mills do it? It's not like he went, did it, said, knocked this bitch out the park and was like, and is now the king all renowned of podcasting. It's not the motherfucking case. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, he did this, that went well, and did this, that, and did this, and did this, and you know what I'm saying? So
I think it's just, for a minute, in the beginning, it sure would, depending on how Meek would do it and what he's talking about.
Yeah, Matt Hoffa got a podcast. He was a battle rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about the hustle. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like I said, can't nobody say how he would do it. That nigga might have motherfuckers, he might have a podcast in the middle of a fucking city block and motherfucking, you never fucking know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know, bro. But is it possible? Yeah. Could the money be recouped? Hell yeah. But niggas is going to shoot him down because of the fact that it's Meek Mills and he got all that funny shit going on. And he done had issues with niggas and shit.
Well, like you said, he could use that podcast to speak on some of that, clear some of that up. And mostly, really, for the funny shit. Because most of the funny, it's really most of that Diddy shit that's going on that's really, for some reason, he ain't really addressing it. And that's why everybody really, they heavily on his ass about this Diddy shit. And he really not addressing it. But, like you said, if he came out with a podcast and even spoke on a quarter of the stories, I think even Nicki Minaj, she said during their relationship, he is toxic. He was like, quote unquote, you 30-something and you still want to be rapping? And that was like, I guess that had like, that had killed her. Like, that she felt some type of way about it on the inside, which she should. That's her own personal way. But it was like, just something like that. It was like, he could definitely use the podcast to speak on, to go on some of them stories, how his journey was for the rap game, what's that really like. I think he got a lot of stories that he could tell that could definitely garnish the views over time. So, that's why when Joe Budden was like, it'll be hard for Act to recoup the mill, because they were saying they'll have to do like 15 million views a month for Act to really get that mill back. And I think Flip was really the only one that was like, alright, 15 mil, Meek could do that. It was like, nah, Meek can't do 15 mil in a month. And Flip was like, yeah, he could do 15 mil in a month if he talk about this, this, and this. And then that's when they came in and was like, well, he would have to show up. He would actually show up and talk. He would have to carry himself in a way. And Flip was really the only one that was like, nah, Meek could do 15 mil.
I mean, I don't see no issue with it. Like I said, I think all the rest of that shit is just hate and media bullshit. Shannon Sharp fucking wasn't doing the numbers he was doing, but he's doing them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's guests, we live in a world now where there can't nobody say, if a nigga tell you that you can't do something other than fucking flying or coming back from fucking dying, and yeah, nigga can't tell you can't do something and you not do it because of like a whole bunch of like outer worldly limitations. You know what I'm saying? It's not, and not how to tell, because you in your own fucking way. You ain't gonna beat the hurdles. You ain't gonna jump the hurdles. You ain't gonna fucking do the things that are necessary. You know what I'm saying? Because shit, ain't saying it's gonna be easy, but nigga, that shit possible. Shit, that shit possible. He Meek Mills, and they got access to all sorts of celebrities. Fuck.
Man, you could definitely.
Fuck you mean,
he could definitely do. He could garnish. If I think if he came out with his own,
that's four episodes,
and he didn't do no. That's what Flip said too, though. Flip was like, bro, he could. That's exactly what Flip said. That's the crazy part. That's exactly what Flip said, and everybody said he was just chatting. He was like, Meek, cause he could get that back to act in four episodes, and it was like, nah, that's not how that worked.
Yeah,
and he was like, what you mean? And they was like, nah, that's not that how that work. Yeah, it was right. Like, just because it's Meek Mill don't mean you're going to get it back in four episodes, because he actually got to do this, do that, do this.
Meek Mill ain't NLE Chopper. Meek Mill. You know what I'm saying? It's like, people be sleeping on Meek Mill, and that's what I'm talking about, whereas though it's like, for somebody in this generation, well, like I said, Meek put himself in that position. You know what I mean? Like, a motherfucker could say something about seeing me on here, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? They could say whatever about my music, about whatever. And the way I respond and handle myself, you know what I'm saying? Those are what allows certain trends and stuff to build and stuff. You know what I'm saying? He allowed this trend for these young niggas to be treating him on the level that they is. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, Meek is a fucking legend. He shouldn't even be, He shouldn't even have entertained a lot of this shit and let a lot of this shit to get the way it's at.
And, I seen some joint the other day where, because it was funny that you brought up the chicken sir earlier. Somebody had said, I gotta think of this rapper. Can't think of him right now, but he was saying, if you really chitlin' circuit and you getting like 30 to 40 a show, it don't really matter about the seats. And some people felt like, some people was in the middle about that because some people was like, you really just want to do it. You really just doing that to get a bag they already paid for you to be there. So it don't even really matter about the 15 people. So getting your opinion on that, right? Do you feel like it's really worth it to go out there and perform? Like, even if they're giving you the 40, do you still feel like it's worth it to go out there and perform, even if it is like 15 people out there?
Nah, because it don't work like that. Because that ain't the real. Because niggas would be saying that shit in interviews, they lying like shit.
Yeah, it was first off, something Sky. Something Sky.
Nigga lying.
Yeah, but.
Nigga lying, bro.
Something Sky. I'll think of him here.
Nigga lying. I'll tell you like this, right? Niggas ain't getting 40. Niggas ain't getting 20 on no chitlin circuit to perform at a spot where ain't nobody there. It's not gonna happen. You feel what I'm saying? Unless you happen to be a medium-sized celebrity and the promotion was fucking shit. You know what I'm saying? But for the average nigga who's on a chitlin circuit type of situation, not a lot of that's going to be off of the door and off of the draw or off of how much of a buzz and how many seats they think that you'll be able to fill. If they don't feel like you're going to fill seats, you're not getting that bag. You ain't getting big bag. You know what I'm saying? If they ain't got a lot of seats to fill, you ain't getting big bag, first off. And then on the backside of it, if you young and shit, or even if that's what you want to do, if you feel like you like, you know what, I just like performing in front of people, whether it's 5, 10 people or whatever, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? I did them days. You know what I'm saying? I did them days. Used to go to Baltimore and perform in front of motherfucking 10, 15 people, whatever. 20 people, whatever. And like I said, that shit cool. You got to start somewhere. You know what I mean? You got to build a stage presence. You got to get more comfortable and shit. And, but nah, like, to be doing that shit, like, at this point, for me, nah, fuck no. And I feel like for some people at a point where as though, you know what I mean, the crowd and the gathering is also, when it comes to music, there's a lot of where the vibe is at. It's hard to create a certain vibe with 5 people.
Right.
It's hard to create a certain vibe. You know what I mean? Like, if it's 10 people in the crowd, then goddamn, yeah, no, I need to have been getting paid a lot of money, or I need to be at a party where I'm doing this for fun. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, no, I can't be getting paid. Why would I? Like I said before, get them people their money back. If you pay me a big bag to come out here and perform and there's 10, 15 people or whatever, bro, get them their money back. You know what I'm saying? Hell, if they paying that, you know what I'm saying, to come see me, look, shit, it's a little gathering or whatever. I do that little shit for free. You know what I'm saying? When I'm in the area. You know what I'm talking about? Like, come on, bro.
I think about it. He was doing something. He wasn't on no jumper, but it was like a platform like it. But he was basically like, he had like 15 people in his. They gave him $4,500, but he still went and performed or whatever. And he really like SoundCloud this shit. SoundCloudish, he not that big, but they gave him like 45. But he said he went to go perform it, and he was like really And then that's when he really spoke on the chitlin circuit. He was like, it's some people, they getting like 30 to 40 a show to perform with that amount of people. He was like that. And that's why, when he said that, that question kicked in my head. Like, bro, even if you are getting 40 a show, is it even worth it to go perform in front of 15 people?
Look, if the people, like I said, like it's all about the situation and the crowd and everything, bro. It really is. And what you do this shit for. Like I said, I love the entertainment business. I love music. So, am I about to fly out somewhere or travel a long distance for us? No, I'm not about to do that. But, yeah, no, will I do it? Yeah, but like I said, hell, for that, ain't no sense in me being on the stage. I might as well come down here, you know what I'm saying, and kick it with y'all. You know what I mean? And fucking, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's different, you know what I'm saying? We live in a day and age where that shit ain't necessary. You feel me? That's what I'm saying by whereas, though, it don't make sense now. Shit like that and certain and some things that people be saying and some of the advice that people give, that shit was great in, like, the 90s and the early 2000s and shit, nigga. But it's like, nigga, in 2024, nigga, I can hit a button on my phone, go live, and sit the phone across the room and perform in front of fucking more than 15, 30 people. So, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's like, I don't think that shit's even practical. I think motherfuckers be saying that stories to make themselves sound cool and relevant and shit like that. Nigga, that ain't, nigga, that ain't how it worked, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I was
ain't even how it worked, man.
I was like, he got a pretty good, I don't know.
Hey, it sound good. How shit work now, bro?
Yeah, because they asked him, they was like, how much you got, bro? He was like, I got real, like, they gave me $4,500 to do that. He was like, it's some niggas out there getting 30 to 40. And they doing that. And I was like, all right, but is it worth it at that point? But seeing that, I also seen some shit where there was like a 30-year-old, like 2 days ago, I seen some shit on my feed where a 30-year-old dude, he got jumped in to a Blood or Crip gang or whatever, and then the next day he got beat up. And so I also wanted to ask you, like, because people was clowning him because it was like, bro, you 30, you joining a set. And, like, honestly, do you feel like this game banging shit played out? Like, do you feel like that shit just dried out? Like, that shit dried up? Like, niggas need to, like, just really, like, move on type shit? Because I'm not going to lie, bro. 30 joining the set is a little crazy. Like, I don't know him personally to be saying like he don't need to be doing that, but I will say that's crazy. But he probably got his own personal reasons or whatever. But that is crazy. That's the only thing I can really say, bro. Like I said, I'm sure he got his own personal reasons, Troop Squad. But like when you turn 30, like I can imagine like that was it's times for niggas to be growing up, and he had turned 30 and joined the set, and yeah, I guess they had called him like the next day. He was bleeding on his forehead and shit, and he was like, "Yo, like, I just got swat, y'all," and he was shaking and shit, and everybody was like, "Yeah, 30 years old trying to join the set is crazy." So I'm like, I gotta ask if this gaming and shit just like really dried out, or it's just to a point now where it's no return. A nigga turned 30, it's like,
I mean,
I don't know. Ain't no hope for a nigga to turn 30 and join the set. Like I said, like, he probably got his own personal reasons. I don't know him personally, but, like, that is kind of crazy. Like, why you just do that now? And that went viral. It went viral.
I mean,
I think it only went viral, though, because he got shot. The next day. Like, they caught him the next day and did something to him.
I mean, I feel like that shit ain't really nothing my business. But yeah, nigga gotta have hella good reason, I guess, to do that shit at 30. I mean, like I said, nigga had to have hella good reason to get down at 30. I ain't gonna say gangbanging is dried up because everything evolves, you know what I'm saying? So, I feel like, you know what I mean? That ain't my business.
No, that's why I ain't ask you, like, what you think about him. That's why I was like, you feel like this gangbanging shit played out. Like, so that's why it's like,
nah,
the question was really the gangbanging shit. The 30, him turning 30 was like, it was like painting like a picture.
The gangbanging shit, like I said, not really. I mean, everything evolved and shit, and it's all about who you is, you feel me? Like, I feel like this, right? I feel like I'm on some shit where in my life and shit, I want everybody to be doing better. You know what I mean? And what other people want for themselves and shit. That is what it is. Why people do shit, that is what it is. There's a lot of people that are banging that do positive shit. There's a lot of people banging that are lost in these fucking streets. A lot of people banging that's got mental health issues. A lot of people banging because they trying to hurt people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, whatever it is, I mean, I hope that people, you know what I'm saying, like I said that, you know what I mean, people are trying to better themselves, you know what I'm saying? So the gang culture now, I don't feel like it's dried up. I feel like we live in a time where motherfuckers want to do whatever is cool. And unfortunately, hip-hop made gangbanging and gang culture look a lot cooler than what it really is all the time and shit like that. It made it more popular and shit than the reality of it. So now you have a lot of people out here that have a lot of different principles than what the gangs and stuff was built on and different shit like that. And I feel like that shit makes gang culture kind of like overwhelming because you see it everywhere and it's associated with a lot of young people and a lot of dumb shit going on.
And that's why I say, well, that's why I feel like low-key the shit played out. Because it's like, there used to be structure with this shit for real, for real. And what played it out was like, it's a whole a lot of unnecessary shit that really go on throughout the game banging shit. So the unnecessary shit, that's where I say like, that shit played out. Because some of the shit, like, when I was coming into it, it was real like, it was like structure with it. It was certain shit that there was like rules against it. There was law that you better not do that for real. Either that or you gotta shoot the sixes with everybody. And now, they kind of played it into a point where, like, it's cool. Like, back then, we wasn't snaking our men's. We wasn't backdooring our men's back then. But now, they make that shit look cool. Like, they make it feel and seem cool for you to backdoor niggas. And we always went off the thing where, like, we don't backdoor our own mans. That's something that we never, that was a code that we always lived by. You don't backdoor your mans. And you fast forward now, they make that shit cool. That's all everybody talk about now is backdoor this, backdoor that. Niggas trying to line. And it be their own mans. And it's like, nah, when I was coming up, like, that's why I feel like it's kind of played out a little bit. Because there's just so much unnecessary shit that happened. That it make this shit like, man, that shit getting played out, fool. Like, y'all better off going over there. Go back across the street, do something else, because this shit is dry. It's played out. It's getting dried up. It's a whole lot of unnecessary shit happening for no reason. It's no structure in this shit no more. Niggas is just joining just to say they got status now, or just to get some status, or just to... Well, some people got their own reasons. Some people got their own reasons. Some people do got their own reasons. Like me, I was looking for acceptance when I went into it. Even my boy Jordan, he was having problems at home. So I'm saying, like, we had our own, everybody got their own reasons for joining it, but for the unnecessary shit, that's what, it just made that shit like, that shit getting played out.
That's the main difference, is like, I come from a time where niggas couldn't even just join shit.
At all.
So it's like,
if you was not,
my time frame is a lot different.
Like, it was like, if we did not know you for like, at least 10 plus years, You was just not about to come around and just start hanging. And that's how we went. Like, you had to be known at least by one of the guys for at least 10 plus. You had to be sandboxed with somebody. You couldn't just come around just to be there. But that was just how we did our for us, though. Because even then, we followed up. We kind of copied, like, Chicago shit. Low-key, we had our own little group called OTF. And whenever the guys wanted to come and join, we'll take them in the bathroom. Whenever we had lunch or something, jump him, hop him in, go to class with a fat, swollen ass eye, boy. Teacher be like, yo, what happened? Be like, yo, he slipped, he fell. I don't even know if he hit the stall or something. But being there, beating niggas up, jumping them in. But it's like, it's always just that one that everybody knew. Like, we had rules for it, so not everybody could just come. We had a lot of niggas asking that just move to the school. They wanted to come in and, you know what I'm saying, be chilling shit. But it's like, nah, you could be cool with us and shit, but you're not this. Because, like, nah, we don't know you. And you're not sandboxed. So.
Yeah, nah, I feel that. But that's, I mean, only thing I can tell people about life and about with anything that you do, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you gotta have your own principles. And I know a lot of people will be looking for like acceptance and brotherhood or sisterhood or whatever, or camaraderie. But make sure that your want for that doesn't exceed and overshadow your principles. Because the groups and the people that you need to surround yourself with, they need to have the same, like, either the same principles or be at a place in life where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. But even still with that, I feel like that's what fucks these niggas up in the industry, or we see on looking all crazy and stuff, because it's like, when you go in the places and hanging with people that are where you want to go, sometimes they're going to show you some shit that goes against your principles. And sometimes the motherfuckers be like, well, I want what they have. And they, you know what I mean, go back on their own principles and shit. And that's where, you know, I feel like as a person, you start to be lost in this world. Once you go back on your own principles and your own moral compass, then I feel like that's when you start to get like, you know what I'm saying, like, who the fuck am I type vibes, you know what I mean?
I mean, most def. I mean, it happens a lot, though. Like, we see in the industry all the time, it's just that greater half. They go in with a certain mindset, certain demeanor, certain morals. And some, not all of them make it to the other end of that side. Some of them lose it. Mm-hmm. And some of them just don't come back from it because they be so stuck in it. Industries. Heavily known for that one, man. So, I don't know. The industry in itself.
But that's why y'all need to go listen to my new song coming out. I'm pretty sure I'm going to either name that bitch The Mirror or Man in the Mirror. Something like that. Shit's fucking fire. But, you know, it goes into a lot about that shit, yo. Because it's like, that's my main thing is, like, my principles, bro. And, like, and relying on me to do what I need me to do. You know what I'm saying? Holding yourself accountable. You know what I mean? That shit. You in these streets, you don't understand it. If you in any type of situation, you don't understand what I'm saying, then, yeah, you listen to that fucking song. I don't know what else to fucking tell you.
Yeah, it's true like that. Like you said, go. Well, I mean, hold on. First off, when you was making that song, is it more of a like a me versus me type of battle when you said holding yourself accountable?
Nah. I wouldn't say me versus me. But yeah, at the same time, yeah, because accountability is acknowledging the good and the bad. You feel me? So, like, I think I say at some point in the song, it's like, how can I be my best friend and opponent? And it's like, that's because you have to be when you're holding yourself truly accountable, because it's like, yeah, nigga, I'm doing this right or whatever. Or, nigga, I'm not doing this and I'm in my own way. Because as I said, can't nobody stop me from doing nothing but me. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, besides flying and dying, ain't a motherfucker that can stop me from doing something other than me. Ain't no way around it. You know what I mean? Nigga be like, oh, well, shit, nigga, I'm poor. I ain't got this, that, and the other, bop, bop, bop. Yeah, nigga, I feel you. If I say I want a meal, I guarantee I'm going to go get me a meal. That's how it works for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like with the way that I came up and what I went through, I feel like it's like, that's just what it is. Yeah, you might have to do some shit, but you can do it. You know what I mean? So you your own opponent and you your best friend. You the one who can tell yourself that you can, that there's no limit. That what everybody else thinks about you don't mean shit. They don't know me. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
So ending off on that note. it's been your boy B2B Swaggy. We appreciate y'all tuning in as always. And did you have something that you wanted to add to send the people off?
It's 2024. You never know what the fuck is going on in this world. So make sure you check into the BTB Gorilla Zone and visit the BTBRevolution.com. You know what I'm saying? Past that, nah. Troop Squad, look, go get y'all some motherfucking gear. We in here designing this shit. We got some more shit coming for the store.
And you can also figure out how you can get you a free shirt, man, if you go check it out too, man. Just go to the website at BTBRevolution.com. You'll figure out how you can do that.
So, yeah, stay up.